Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Sport Kite Podcast. I am your host, Nick O'Neill, and I wanted to thank you for tuning in and listening. I wanted to start off saying thanks to all of the Team USA supporters who helped Team USA get here to the World Kite Cup in Berks-sur-Mer, France. We are here on the beach and we have just come to the end of day one. Day one being predominantly all demonstrations. There's no competition for today. It will be another day or two before we actually start competition. We'll get a little bit more into that a little bit later, but I wanted to give you a recap on what the last 24-ish hours has been for us. And as you can hear, I'm here in the Team USA house. So everyone's kind of just got back from the beach. It is about 10:30 at night. We're kind of relaxing. We're trying to decompress. We've had a very, very long day out there. It's been absolutely wonderful, but the folks are out sitting on the porch, kind of just decompressing. So you'll hear a lot of laughter in the background. I hope it's not too distracting, but it also does convey the overall atmosphere that we have going on here, not only for Team USA, but the sport kite community in general. So let's start with the recap of what we have experienced over the last 24 hours. It kind of starts with five members of Team USA experiencing flight delays coming predominantly the West Coast contingent coming out of Seattle, Washington. Those delays then translated to us missing the shuttle leaving from Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris and traveling here to Berks-sur-Mer. So instead of waiting another 10 hours or so for the next shuttle, we opted to do a handful of train hopping and went through the French countryside first, taking a bullet train and then some regional trains to find our way here. We made the best of it. For the time that we were waiting at the airport, not only for our flight, but also for getting to the train and doing everything else. We did do some stick practice. We worked on a handful of other things and kind of kept thinking about the competition coming up. So we did spend that time to the best of our ability, or at least the quad pairs and the dual line pairs folks, they used it to try some of that stick practicing. On the flight across the Atlantic, you know, some of us were lucky enough to see the Northern Lights, which was really cool. But yeah, so we finally arrived here at Berks-sur-Mer and we're in chalet number 67. It is a fully stocked, beautiful, tiny cabin. It's like 800 square feet, but it has, four bedrooms. And so there's space for all eight of us to sleep here. So that's actually the six flying members of Team USA, plus myself, the support crew, and plus the USA judge, Scott Weider. We're all in here. It's only 800 square feet, but no problem. We're really just here to sleep and eat, and we're spending the majority of our time out on the kite field. And with that, I want to give a huge shout out to the Domino Resorts. That's where we're staying. They and the Berks-sur-Mer organization, they left her chalet fully stocked. So it was absolutely wonderful to arrive here and find, you know, food and drink and everything ready for us to just relax and kind of get into the vibe. So with that, we went ahead, we unpacked, we fed, we showered, and we were all in bed around midnight and up the next morning, some of us earlier than others, but most of us were up and at them about 6 o'clock in the morning, getting ready to go and heading out to the shuttle at around 8:30. When we got to the shuttle, we had the chance to see a lot of the other teams from around the country, around the world, and hang out with them, you know, finding some friends that we knew and that we've known very long, like the Canadian team, you know, good neighbors of ours, and we've flown with a lot of them. And then also meeting up with the Colombians and the Spanish team and the German team and everybody else. We're all kind of staying in the same little resort village, and each country has its own house. So it's really cool just to kind of spend that time with everybody. But yeah, I forgot to mention that I had a very, very blissful moment that I was in my bed and I could hear, this is when I was trying to fall asleep last night. I could hear not only the sound of people, you know, brushing their teeth and all of that, but there was this distinctive clink of the carbon rods against one another as someone was going through their kite bag, and the rustling of ripstop. And then there was some quiet conversation about the mental prep for tomorrow. And there was just this kind of professional work attitude that we wanted to have with, hey, you know, we're here. Now this is where, you know, the true work starts. And even though we're going to get some sleep, we kind of want to have that mental prep that the first thing when we wake up in the morning is, hey, we're going to get going and all that. So again, apologies. I just kind of skipped around here, but, yeah, so we all got on the shuttle. Definitely some of us have some jet lag, not a problem. We're going to get over it. And unfortunately, we hear that Team Taiwan is stuck without their kites or their luggage. So really sad to hear about that. Hopefully that's going to get fixed in the next few days. And then we should see him here in time for the competition. And we're wishing the best of luck to Team Taiwan. We can't wait to see them get here. Also, one of the members from Team England was unable to make it, so they may have to forfeit the team flying portion that they had planned. So that's unfortunate to hear. Again, we're going to hear more about this in the coming days. This is just the first day. So we started the day with a quadline mega fly. Absolutely amazing to see everybody get out there. It was a wonderful job by all the quadline flyers. It was shortly followed up by one of the first demos by Sky Sisters, which is our quadline pair for Team USA. That is Katrina Bruin and Lindsay Abbott. They braved a demo in full vents and incredibly strong winds. So much so that when they got off the flying field, they came back to our little cabin that we have on the beach that we can store our kites and kind of get out of the wind. They came back and nearly fell over because it was such work to try and fly their demo out there on the performance field. And while they were taking a minute to rest, recuperate, you know, drink some water and stuff like that, Team Holland came over to tell them, you know, what a great job they did. And then Team Spain came over, and they said that their team demo music is the same as the Sky Sisters music. And they hoped it wasn't a problem. They hoped it was okay if they used the same music, which, of course, absolutely not a problem. We do appreciate, you know, any flyer really appreciates if you ask if other flyers use their music. So it just goes to show the level of sportsmanship that is happening on the field. So, yeah, after that, we kind of went through the day. We did some demos. Our dual line did their demo. They did an amazing job, you know, really just shaking the sand out. And then we had the dual line mega fly with most of the teams from around the world flying. I think almost every team was represented. So about 8 out of the 10 teams was represented in the dual line mega fly, which was amazing. The wind was ripping and it was just awesome. For us, what we've talked about this quite a bit so far today is it's really interesting to see what all the other nationalities are bringing. There's some good stuff going on outside, but it's just really interesting to see what the other nationalities are bringing because, you know, while France, the Netherlands, and the UK, they may all interact with one another and see each other often, a lot of the other countries that are here were very siloed, and we only get to kind of fly with each other, and we get these very unique styles and aesthetics and ways that we approach choreography. And so it's really interesting to see all of those differences that each nation is bringing to the field. So yeah, we just kind of went through the day. It was absolutely wonderful. And we kind of come to the end where we have a closeout mega fly. Still, the wind is absolutely ripping. It's incredible. And then we kind of finish off the evening with beers and the pilot debriefing, where we get a thank you from the mayor of Bourg-sur-Mer, and we get the introduction of the judges that will be judging throughout the event. We have 3 artistic judges and 3 technical judges, with all scores being 50-50, so 50% technical and 50% aesthetics. Right after that, they did the random draw for the individual competition flight order on Monday. That's for the dual line folks. And Team USA, which will be Paul DeBacker, was slotted for roughly the second half. They also introduced to us the concept that they will be doing live scoring on the field via phones. So we're really interested to see how all of that plays out, and how those of you at home can watch as all of this happens. We did find out a handful of the other rules that are implemented for this event, including the wind rule, which is between 5 and 45 kilometers an hour. There are no wind checks from the judges, and no deductions for line infractions. So they're really only going to deduct you for what we used to consider line infractions if it puts the public at a safety risk. But if you just cross a line, they're really not going to say anything about it, again, unless it endangers the public. So let's see. The last little bit of that was that they are allowing for ground crew. You can have up to 3 people be your ground crew, and they could also do your wind check. They could do everything else you need. But the judges are siloed to within the judges, and the field director is going to be your main point of contact. Those were pretty much the main things about this competition rules that are important knowing going forward. It's an incredibly minimal rule set, which was the topic of discussion over dinner. And interesting to hear the different perspectives of, you know, if this will make a difference in the future of sport kite flying. So with that is the day one recap. We're going to go ahead and close this out, get this published, get some much needed sleep, and then get ready for day two. So if you're interested in seeing live updates, make sure that you've subscribed to us on Facebook and also on YouTube. We're going to keep trying to push videos out. We're still kind of in the demo phase. Starting Monday, which is 2 days from now, we will start the competition phase, and we will start with a dual line individual and then quad line individuals next. Yeah, Wadi's next to me, and he happens to be the Team USA quad line individual, so he'll be flying on Tuesday, and then we have dual line pair, and then quad line pair, and then teams after that, each subsequent day, with the final standings and prizes given on Saturday. So we have a pretty epic week ahead, and I do hope you stay tuned and you enjoy these daily updates. All right, so again, for more, make sure that you've gone and liked our page on Facebook and liked our YouTube channel, and also check out our Instagram. And if you want general updates, you can always check out sportkite.org. We have a tab for the Team USA, and we also have a tab for the General World Kite Cup. We're going to try and include daily updates there, photos, etc. So, yeah. I wish you could join us here on the kite field, but obviously not everybody is here. So hopefully next time we'll see you out here, and I hope to see you on the kite field. All right, bye.